Today we are on Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph, and we begin with the Gemara right on the top, Tefach. The Gemara says the Mishnah had just finished saying that that the korah has to be the width of a half a levena, and a levena is three tefachim, so a half a levena is a tefach and a half. So then, why does the Mishnah then continue by saying Dayla korish tehei rechava tefach? That the korah is enough if it's a tefach wide kedela kabbalah riach to receive this brick. So the Gemara says tefach umechzaboy. Why does the Mishnah say tefach? You actually need a tefach and a half. That's the measure of a half of one brick, and because the one brick was one and it was three tefachim. So the Gemara says kivan the rach of a kabbal tefach, since it's wide enough. What the Mishnah is trying to tell you here, that once it's wide enough to receive, to hold a tefach, then either chatzi tefach malben lebetina mashuhu mehagisa, then the remaining half of a tefach that you have left, you have to do is take a little putty, put it on the sides of this brick, had it actually been there, and you would putty it on one side, umehagisa mashu mehagisa, and putty it up on the other side as well. And so in other words, you'd have like a quarter of a tefach either side to putty it and balance it on the korah. That's all you need, is this bit of putty on either side. So it's enough if it just carries this, has the width of a tefach, even though it's not exactly the tefach and a half. As mashum ha'gisa v'kaima, and the brick would remain standing. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabba bar Rabhuna. Rabbi Huna says, Korah she'amru, this beam that we're talking about, tzricha she'tehei bria kedei lekabel ariach. It has to be strong enough to be able to support a brick. And that is actually based on the Tanakhama and the Mishnah, that it says, because kedei lekabel ariach, that has to hold a brick. So the Gemara says, or Rabbi bar Rabhuna continues, however, the support pegs that may be holding up the beam, that those support pegs do not have to be strong enough to hold the beam plus this brick. Support pegs don't have to be that strong. Rav Chisda says no, he disagrees. Ama echad zeh ve'echad zeh tzrichin shiyu brin kedei lekabel korah ve'ariach. No, the pegs indeed have to be heavy enough to support both the beam and to support the brick that may be on top of it. And indeed, that's the halachas with Rav Chisda. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Sheshis, hiniach kora gabi mavui. If supposing you put a beam going across a mavui. Now, however, what you do is now for some reason you decide to drape a curtain over it. Uparas aleha machzeles. And you drape a curtain over it. Excuse me. V'higbiya min hakarka shlosha. And however, it's now this curtain, this cloth material, is now raised above the ground by a height of three tefachim. Kora ein kan and mechitza ein kan. You have neither the advantage of having a kora, nor do you have the advantage of having a mechitza. Why? Kora ain't kind of hamachasya. The beam you don't have, because after all the beam is covered up by this curtain, by this cloth. Mechitza ain't kind. On the other hand, you can't say that you have a mechitza, you know, to make your erev out of a mechitza itself. Because now what you're left with is with a mechitza that's off the floor, off the ground, to the height that little baby goat can sort of duck under and work their way through. And once you have a mechitza that's hanging that high that the little kids can duck under, then it's not considered a mechitza as far as Hilchas Erevin is concerned. Tana Rabbanan, Kara hayotzei mei kosel zeh ve'eino nogas bekosel zeh. Supposing you have a beam, you have two walls facing each other as the entranceway to the mavui, and now you have a beam coming out from one wall, and it doesn't reach the other wall. It goes most of the way to the other wall, but does not reach the other wall. V'chein shtei koros achas yotze mikosel zeh, v'yachad yotze mikosel zeh. or supposing you have two beams from either side and they're pointed in the direction where they would they should meet each other, however, they don't, and they stop short, and there's a gap. And they're not touching each other. There's no continuity of the two poles running into each other, so you don't have a one long running pole. So he says, Pachas Mishlosha ain't Tzorach Lahavikor Acheres. If the gap between the beam running against the one beam running against towards the other wall, or the two beams running towards each other, if the gap is less than Shlosha, then ain't Tzorach Lahavikor Acheres, you don't need any other beam, and that suffices. Because of the general rule of Lavud, that since it's within three tefachim, we consider it as though it has reached its target. However, Shlosha, once it reaches the point of three tefachim or wider gap, then Tzorach Lahavikor Acheres, then you do indeed have to bring another beam to make up for the difference that you've left in the gap. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Pachas Midalid. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds, we've seen Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Shita before in Daf Tes Yud Beis. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amar Pachas Midalid Ein Tzorach Lahavi Kara Acheres. If it's less than four, you don't have to bring another beam. Arba Tzorach Lahavi Kara Acheres. However, if it's four, the gap is four tefachim, then you do have to bring another beam. And the reason for this is because Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that the shear of Lavud is not three, which is the general assumed halacha. Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees, and he says that you're allowed a space of four tefachim. So that's why Rav Shimon Gamliel would agree in principle to halacha stated before. However, he just differs in the amount of gap that you're allowed to leave, and he's consistent with his own shita, which is that Lavud can span up to four tefachim. Then the Gemara continues. Chein beis karas hamat imos. If you have two poles, karas, two beams running across. Now Rashi seems to understand, as Rashi says, they are mat imos. Rashi says that they are shehishkivon ze etzel zu kamo te'umen. They're like twins, twin towers, but just rising or laying across horizontally. Chain beis karas hamatimos. You have two poles running alongside each other. However, lo bezuk kidei lekabel ariach. But the one pole is not does not have the width or the to hold a brick or this half brick. Lo bezuk kidei lekabel ariach. And the other one doesn't have the strength to carry this half brick. Imekablos ariach rachvo tefach. However, if between the two poles you can balance a brick along its width, then ain't tzorach lahavi kara acheres. Then you do not have to bring another brick. V'im lav tzorach lahavi kara acheres. In other words, if they're lying parallel to each other, then you just as long as you can balance the brick between the two of them, that's enough. V'im lav, however, if between the two you cannot balance that brick, then tzorach lahavi kara acheres. You have to bring another beam. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, im kabelas ariach laarko shlosha. His policy is a bit different. He says that the beams, you have to be able to, the beams can be that far apart that if you can spread the length of the brick between the two of them and it can support the length of the brick, which is three tefachim wide, then ain't tzorach lahavi kara acheres. In that situation, you don't have to bring another beam. The imlav, however, if it cannot support a brick with on its lengthwise going from one beam to the next, then tzorach lahavi kara acheres, then you have to bring indeed another beam. So the difference being the length of the span that you have between these two twin beams. According to the first opinion, you have the the amount of space is only the width, which is a tefach wide of a brick, and then according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, no, you have enough as long as you can run the length of the brick three tefachim long to be held by the two beams. Now the Gemara continues. Hayu achas lamala va'achas lamata. If supposing you had one korah that was high position, again, these are two beams. However, in this situation, before they were even with each other, as they were parallel, they were even with each other. But here, one is high up, v'achas lamata, and one is beneath it. So they're not even with each other. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Ryan Esel Yona ki ilu hi lamata. We view the upper one as though it's lying down below, the esatachtona, and the bottom one ki ilu hi lamala, as though it is being raised up above. Ubelvad shelo tehe el yona lamala mechaf ama. That's providing that the first one is not more than 20 amas, and the problem being because if it's more than 20 amas, a korah is possible, as we said at the outset of the Masechta. If it's more than 20 amas high, the korah, then it's possible. And the bottom one should not be beneath 10 tvachim, because then that is what represents a possible, the minimum shear for a korah to be. To be spread across. Now, however, the principle that he says is that we view it as though the two poles evened out, and we consider as though they were lying side by side, and as though they are actually touching each other, to combine to make it the tefach wide. So, the only stipulation Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda has is that the upper pole shouldn't be out of its maximum distance of 20 amas, and the lower pole shouldn't be beneath its minimum distance, its minimum height, which is 10 tvachim high. Otherwise, the two poles are said to be viewed as though they were meeting each other. Amar Abaye. So Abaye commented on this, and he said, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda savar lo ka'avuha b'chada. Rabbi Yossi, who is the son of Rabbi Yehuda, holds like his father Rabbi Yehuda in one aspect, and yet he disagrees with him in another aspect. How is this? He holds like his father in one aspect, the Islay Royan, because in our Mishnah, it was Rabbi Yehuda that said that this policy of Royan, that we view a pole that even though it may not have been a very strong pole, but let's say it was made out of straw or some kind of other reeds, but we view it that had this pole been made out of metal and it would have had the proper width and dimensions to be able to withstand the weight of a brick, it would have been, that suffices. So you don't actually have to have it to that strength and to that gauge, but you have to have it, it has to be the tefach wide, and provided it's a tefach wide, then we view it as though it would have been a solid type of material. So it's called nirin. We view it that way. We consider it that way. So in that aspect, he agrees with his father, because the same policy that will tell us that we view as though the pole was a different type of material, that same policy will tell us that we view the height and maximum minimum height of these poles, even though they're one is on top of the other, we view it as though they were one alongside the other. So this Nirin policy of that is that we consider it or view it as such is a policy where he's consistent with his father. However, Upala Galea Bachada, however, he disagrees with him in a different aspect. The Ilu Rav Yehuda Sava Lamala Mi Esrim, Rav Yehuda says that the maximum height is 20. Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, I'm sorry, that he says you can go above 20, as stated on the outside of the Masechta. Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Sava Betoch Chav In Lamala Mi Chav Lo. That once you reach 20, it's no longer it's possible. So in that respect, he holds not like his father, because his father allows a mavi to be higher than 20 amas high. So he agrees with him in one respect, and disagrees in the other. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rechava Afal Pi She'eino Bria, that it can be. Rabbi Yehuda says that as long as it's wide, enough for the tefach, afa pisha ain abriya, even though it's actually not literally means healthy enough, but not strong enough to be able to hold the weight of this brick. But as long as it, we view it, and had it been that material, would have been strong enough. So the that's what it says in the Mishnah. So the Gemara picks up on this. Masni le Rav Yehuda lechia bar Rav kameder Rav. Rav Yehuda was learning this Mishnah. This is Rav Yehuda, the Amara, not the Tana, not Mishnah, was learning, was teaching this to Chia bar Rav, the Chia, the son of Rav, in front of his father Rav. And he learned as follows. He understood our Mishnah as follows: Rechava afal pisha ein obriya. That he understood that Rabbi Yehuda. Now our Mishnah says, as we have it, that as long as it's wide for the tefach, even though it's not actually strong enough of that material, it's good enough. And we view it as though it's as though it was strong material. Amalei, so Rav interjected, and he said, "Isnaya rechava ubriya." No, you have to learn it. Don't say that it has to be both wide, and it has to be and it has to be strong enough. You can't just say we would consider it as though it came from a strong type of material. And Rav is disagreeing with that. He's saying no. Teach Chia that it has to be both wide and actually strong enough, not just something we imagine to be strong enough. So the question is really, what is Rav trying to do here with our Mishnah? There are one of two ways of learning. Either learns that what he's trying to tell him, that we have it all wrong. There really is no machlokes Rav Yehuda in the Tana Kama, and everybody agrees that it has to be both wide and strong. If that's the case, then he has to delete, when the Mishnah talks about Nirin, that we view it as though one is stronger, then you have to delete that, because then nobody holds like that. If Rav Yehuda himself agrees with the Tana Kama, that it has to be that strong. Or the other way of learning it is, and Tysus discusses that he was just reversing the opinions that the Tana Kama, really he was the one that held that it had that which Nirin, we consider it as though it was strong material, and as of Yehuda was the one who said no, that has to be Rechava Rebriya. So there are two different ways of learning this. But now the Gemara says, V'amar Rabbi Eloi Amar Rav, but Rabbi Eloi said in the name of Rav, Rav, Rechava Arba, that if it's wide, four tvachim, afal pisha ein abriya, that even though it's not actually strong enough to hold a brick, it's good enough. So you see that you yourself hold from this opinion that we can consider it as though it was stronger material. And as you hold the svara of Nirin, so the Gemara answers, well, no, it's different. Rechava arba shiny. Once it's wide, four tefachim wide, then we assume that's already a considerable width. And so then, even if it's weaker material, he would agree to Nirin. Rav would agree to Nirin because it is a considerable width, and in such an instance, we can view it as though it was a stronger type of material. Then the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Hoysar shel kash." If it was, if the Mishnah had said that it was made of straw material, then we view it as though if it was a stronger type of material, as though it was like made out of metal. So the Gemara is saying, what do you have to illustrate that for? You just finished saying that. My Kamashmali, you just finished saying that we view it as though it's a stronger material. Why do you have to give me an illustration to tell me that if it was straw, I look at it as metal, I could figure this out on my own? My Kamashmalan, so what's the Chiddush in this? Damrin and Royan. That we say we view it as though it's stronger? Hainu hat, that's what we just finished saying that. So the Gemara says, Mao de Tema Baminai Amrinan. That when do we say this issue or this policy of Ryan? That's only if indeed it's possible to have material that really is strong, but if kash by nature, by its very material, is a weaker type of material, I would say you can't view it as always strong material. Shaloi b'mina, but if it's with own min, you don't find its own kind, you don't find that it really gathers such strength as being like metal. La amrina, maybe I wouldn't say Ryan. Kamash Malan, this teaches us that even in a situation of kash, we would say Roin, no matter how weak the kash material might actually be. And again, according to that opinion, that Rav said delete the whole policy of Roin altogether, this line of the Gemara has to be deleted as well. Gemara continues. Akuma, if the Mishnah had said that if the Kara was bent, Roin asa ki ilahi pshuta, you view it as though it was straightened out, it was a straight Kara. Pshita, this seems to be also Pashit. Again, the Gemara's gone along the lines. Well, look, if we were saying Ryan, that we do view this Ryan aspect, that we do view it in as a kosher Kara along, so why shouldn't I say the same thing here too? That if it was bent, view it as though it was as fine straight beam. So he says, Kamash Monkar Rav Zera, this teaches like the Allah Rav Zera, the Am Rav Zera, he betoch ha-mavui. If the kar itself was lying across within the mavui, the akmo misa chutz la mavui, but its bend was now projecting or protruding outside the mavui, or he betoch esrim, of the pipe itself, the kar itself was generally laid within 20 amas, the akmo misa la malam esrim, but now protrudes up above the 20 amma maximum, or he la malam measara, or if the pipe was standing or positioned above the minimum height of 10 tefachim, va'akmi misa lamata, and now this bend makes it droop down and protrude beneath the 10 tefachim minimum. So Ryan calls she'ili not lakmi masa, then we view it as though if you take away the bend, v'ein bein zeh lezeh shlosha, and you don't have a span of 3 tefachim of the bend itself, and so that we can consider it as though at the point that the pipe began to bend, and the other side of the pipe where it began to bend, those the two last straight points of the pipe, if they're within 3 tefachim, so now love it applies once again. The ain tzarich lahavi kara cheres, that you do not need to bring another beam. V'im lav, however, if the bend itself stretches beyond the 3 tefachim, tzarich lahavi kara cheres, you have to bring another beam. So the Gemara says, ha nami pshita. That's also pashit. If you within love it, it makes sense to reason on our own that the two ends would be considered as though they're contacting each other, two straight ends. So the Gemara says, no, the chiddush here is, he besach mavli b'akmi misa chutz l'mavli itzrichilei. That with the chiddush is that if the pipe, in that situation, where the pipe is lying flat, however, the bend stretches outside the confines of the mavli, that's the situation that we have to teach us here. I would have thought where we have to be concerned, maybe the fellow who's inside the mavui, he's going to go along the outline of the pipe. The outline of the pipe now stretches beyond the mavui, so we have to be concerned that someone's going to come to carry beyond the border of the mavui. So and so therefore we should outlaw such a mavui, even if it was such a pipe, even if it was in the bend was less than 3 tefachim. But we say no, we're not concerned about that, and the pipe, if as long as it's within 3 tefachim, the bend in that span more than 3 tefachim, the pipe remains valid. The Mishnah had said, "Agula roinasa ki'ilahi merubas." If it was a round pipe, we look at it as though it was squared, so that we have the tefach dimension. So the Gemara says, "Ha su lamali." Why do we have to illustrate this type of case? Why do we need to? Again, if we know that through the power of Roin, we can view a weak pipe as though it's a strong pipe. So fine. So the same thing should extend to when we have a circular pipe or a round pipe. Just view it, imagine it as though it would be flat and be able to hold this brick. What's the chiddush in this? Simar says itzrichalei. You have to for the following reason, because we know the rule is as follows: Kol sheish behe kefo gimel tvachim, wherever you have a diameter of a circle of 3 tvachim, yesh. The circumference of a circle is 3 tvachim, yesh barochav tefach. So then the diameter, the width of the circle, the diameter of the circle is 1 tefach. So the way the Gemara views it right now, it's a 3-to-1 ratio of circumference to diameter of the circle. And the Gemara throughout Shas always works with that 3-to-1 ratio. It doesn't use the exact dimensions of pi. And as you know, pi is really 3.14, an irrational number. The Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos discusses this fact that really the pi being an irrational figure is something the Gemara tried to steer clear of, because for discussion purposes in the Gemara, it would have become very, very cumbersome to be able to deal and to clarify all the different situations that we have throughout Shas and Erev, and certainly in Sukkah elsewhere. If it would be too confusing for the reader to be able to be that exact in the dimensions using pi is 3.14. So Rambam says that's why the Gemara always used this round number. You see that in the Torah as well. The Gemara refers to Shivim Nafish Yadu Avosenu, even though we know really it was 69. Malchus is Arboim, even though we know that there were 39 Malchus offered. So generally we like to deal with round numbers. It's easier, it's consumer friendly. So now the Gemara says, Minah Halimili. How do we know this? Now, offhand, the Gemara is saying, Minah Halimili, how do we know that this is that 3-to-1 is the ratio of circumference to diameter? But interestingly, some of the Mefarshim, including the Rush and others, say that what the Gemara is really saying, hey, Minah Halimili, not so much how do we know that it's 3-to-1, because we really know it's not 3-to-1. It would be very difficult for us to accept that the Gemara is going to bring proofs that the 3-to-1 is the ratio, when indeed it's not 3-to-1, 3.14. So it would be very difficult if the Gemara is going to base it on Psukim. So really what the Gemara is doing here, according to the Rush and some others, is just trying to say, how do we know that in biblical terms, and therefore in Gemara terms, we are justified in using the round ratio of 3-to-1. So that's what the Gemara is going to prove from the following psukim. Minad imili amar Yochanan amakra. The pasuk says by the King Solomon's pools, the pools of Shlomo Melech, vayases hayam mutzak eser bi'ama misvasai at svasai. He made this pool made of cast iron, 10 amas from one end of the lip through the other end of the lip, meaning it's going across, so that is 10 amas across in diameters. Ugal saviv, and it was a round circle. The chamesh meos amos, the chamesh ba'ama kamaso, and it was 5 amas its height. Vekav shloshim ba'ama, and the circumference running around was 30 amas altogether. Okay, so what you see here then is that here you have the situation, or you have the pasuk clearly states that Shlomo Melech's pools, the circular pools, were running 10 across and 30 around. There you have your 3-to-1 ratio. So you see we use the 3-to-1 ratio. So the Gemara says, "Va'ikas faso, why don't you take into account the rim of the walls of the pool itself?" And that might take you beyond the 3-to-1 ratio, because that itself has dimension to it. Amra papa svaso svas perach shushan. The lips were very, very thin. They were brought almost razor sharp. They were thin like the petals of a flower. Diksiv avav tepach besafaso kemase kos perach shushan. That its thickness was made like the thickness of the rim of a cup, like a lily flower. Pasuk also said, the pool, alpayim bas yachel, and the pool was able to hold 2,000 pas. 2,000 bas, and we'll soon see what bas is. But it was able to hold these 2,000 bas of measures. Now the Gemara helps conclude that pasuk. Now the Gemara says, "Vo'ika mashu." Okay, so you told us that the rim is the thickness of a petal of a flower. However, take into account that thickness as well. It's still a measurable thickness. So he says, "Ki kachashiv." Now, that when we're measuring from the inside, when we measure the circle, the measurements given to us were the measurements from the inner part of the rim. It would seem to me then that that we don't have to get involved in proving that it was the thickness of a petal, of a flower petal. It makes no difference how thick the wall was on top. If we're going with the inner dimensions of the wall of the pools, it probably makes no difference in reality how thick the tops of the rims were. However, the fact is that it was built like that. It came to that point of the thickness of the petal. Now we have the following brisa. Tanya, Rav Chia says as follows: Yam she'asa shloisha ishlomo, the pools that Shlomo HaMelech made, he tells us hayamaksik me'a v'chamishim mikvah tahara. It was enough to hold, this pool that he held was enough to hold 150 mikvahs, commonly known mikvahs, mikvahs taharas. Keep in mind that a mikvah is 60 saw. 40 saw, excuse me. It's 40 saw. So the Gemara says, Michti mikvah kama havoi. What's the minimum amount of that a mikvah has to hold? It's arboim saw. It has to be 40 saws worth of water. In today's measure, somewhere around 200 gallons. Kidatanya, because as it says, for rochatz, you take out the words basaro, just for rochatz, b'mei mikvah kol basaro b'mayim. And so we say, I'm sorry, rochatz b'mayim b'mei mikvah, yeah, kol basaro, yeah, sorry, b'mayim b'mei mikvah. He has to wash his entire body in the water of the mikvah. So we say, as mikvah, how are we defining this gathering of water? Is of avrochatz besaro? Is mikvah kol besaro mayim? We assume that when a person immerses himself into a gathering of water, and he wants to bring kol besaro, he wants to bring all his flesh, meaning his entire body, into this body of water. So what should the dimensions be to determine the actual dimensions of a mikvah? Is mayim shekol gufa ola bahen, enough water that his entire body will be covered by them. V'kama hein, and how much is that? Is ama al ama barum ama, one ama by another ama, and barum shalosh amas, with the height of three amas. So that's basically what the squared off measures of a mikvah should be. Is one by one by three. Three squared amas. So now, v'shiru chachamim, because that is the size of an average human body. V'shiru chachamim mei mikvah arboim sa. So, and we know that the chachamim estimated that what this is then, it's what covers this three squared amas of water is 40 sa. So, is kama havalahu, if you do the math, what are you going to come up with altogether? You're going to come with is havalahu chamesh mea garmidi. You're going to have five. If you do the math of King Shlomo's Shlomo Melech's pool, which was 10 by 10 by 5, you're going to come out with a dimension of 500 square amos worth. Now, so the latlas maya. If the latlas, so for every 300 square amas that you have, then you know we can maya. You can make 100 mikvahs out of it, because again, the ratio is three. We're taking three squared amas for every one mikvah. So if you have 300 square amas, so you can make 100 mikvahs out of it. Lameya, meya is lameya v'chamishin chamshin. If you have 150, then you can make 50 mikvahs out of it. And if you have, again, you say using the same ratio, three amas per every mikvah. Ba'arba Meya. What happens if you have a mikvah the size of 400, barba meya, 400 square amas? So is meya is meya v'chamishin sagi. So you can make out of that 100, you can get out of it 150. So hani mili bir, so now you're left with an extra 50 gallons that are left over. So Shlomo HaMelech had 500 gallons to cover to make all these mikvahs out of it. Again, Rav Chiya said that he was able to make 150 gallons. It was 150 mikvahs he made out of it. But for 150 mikvahs, your math is going to bring you to 450. So what's the so why do you need the 500? So the Gemara says, "Hani milibi ribua." You're right. These measures we were giving you, we're talking about squared. If everything was perfectly square dimension, if we go 10 by 10 by 5. However, yamsusha asa Shlomo agulhaya. The pool that Shlomo HaMelech made was round, was not squared. So michti kama meruba yosel agul. How much is the square more so than a round circle? Is revia. Is actually the way the Gemara puts it is there's 1/4 more area in a square that surrounds a circle than the circle itself. So la arba mea. So for every 400 that you have, deduct 100, and la mea esrim v'chamisha, and for every 100 that you have, take off 25. Again, take off that quarter to come up with 25, so you have 75 altogether. And hani mea ve'esrim v'chamisha havalahu, and so that's why you're going to be left over with an extra 25 is what you're going to be left over with it. So therefore, those 25 tuck in into the circle as opposed to the square that we were working with before, but it's still kind of a rough estimate. So we're still a little bit stuck for the extra 25, because we're missing 50 altogether. So now, Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel. So Rami Bar Yecheskel tells us as follows: Yam she'asa Shlomo, the yam that the pool that Shlomo HaMelech made was shalosh amos tachtonos merubaos. The first bottom three amos high were actually square. So it was a round pool, but its base was square on the bottom. So the first three amos were square. Yishtam Elyonos Agulos, and it was the top rim of the pool that landed up being round. So that's how because it had that extra square footage on the bottom, because it was built square on the bottom, then you can think of it as a lug nut of a car tire. The flat is the bottom is square flat, and the top is in the top is round. So that's how you make up the extra 25. So now the Gemara says, Nehei de'ibcha lo matzis amra, disvaso agulksiv. It's true, you can't say that the top was square and the bottom was rounded, because it says that the pasuk itself says that the rim was round. Ela ema chada. Let's say the whole thing was just one dimension of being squared. So he says, let's say the whole thing was just one dimension of being squared. So the Gemara says, let's just say that the top amma. Why do you say it was the top two? The same as just the top one amma. So he says, lo sakadaitik tiksiv alpayim bas yachil. That it was able to hold 2,000 bas. Bas kama havi, and how much is a bas? A bas is shalosh si'in, and a bas is three saws worth. Diksiv maser habas min akur, and that the tenth of a bas from a kur is the havi le shitsa alpi giuri, which turns out to be the miser given from a kur. And a kor was 30, and a kor is 30 saws. So the miser of a bas is 1/10 of a kor, which is 3 saws apiece. And the havalei shitzi. So now that so therefore the 2,000 bas that the pool had 2,000 times that saw, that turns out to be our 6,000 measures, a 6,000, and each one was three saws, so it turns out to be the 2,000 of the bas. Each bas was three saws, so 2,000 times the three that each bas represented turned out to be 6,000 saws altogether. So now the Gemara says, now the Gemara just asks a stira in the Psukim. The Gemara says, "V'haksiv machzik batim shloshes alafim." Here we're saying that our pasuk tells us it carried 2,000 bas. We have another pasuk in Divrei Yomim in Malachim. It said 2,000 bas. In Divrei Yomim it says 3,000. Says havalu. The Gemara says, "Hahula gutcha." That is because the reason why in Divrei Yomim it was a larger measure because it counted for the overflow, the volume that comes out from on top, that extends over the top. When you have liquid on a cup, it's on top of a cup, it sort of bubbles on the top, it domes on the top. That extra dome is what we're talking about. That's why you give that large dimension of a pool, you fit an extra 1,000 saws of liquid in there. So this tells us that a gutcha, this dome turns the ratio seems to be 3 to 1. It's an extra third, as to rectify these the 3,000 versus the 2,000. Tana Nami, we also have a mission similar to this. Shita Teva Migdal, if you have a box or a carrying. Or a carrying box, a transport box, or a basket, migdal kiveres akash. If you have kiveres akash, or you have a wicker basket, vikeres akinim, or a basket made of reeds, ubar safina alexandris. If you have a huge cistern that used to go on these ships towards Alexandria, alfal pishiyesh lo shulayim. Even though they have bottoms to them, now as far as hilchos tumah is concerned, if it carries more than 40 saw, it's considered a huge keli and it's considered outside the norm of a regular transportable keli, and therefore would not be tummy, because a keli has to be transportable to be considered keli is makabel tuma. So it's avpishesh l'shalayim, even though v'hemachzikas arbaim saw balach, even though it might hold 40 lach saw kishem karayim biyavish taharin. However, since it can heap over substantially, if it's a dry measure, it can heap over substantially over the top, then it's considered tahar because it can hold much more than the dry measure of 40 saw, which is liquid. The dry measure will be substantially more because of the way it domes up on top. And Tysus tells us that the difference is, if you sold a person an item, a bushel of something or other, and if you included the gedusha, the way it heaps up, the mounds up on top, whether you have to include that mound or not, and if so, how much is what's the ratio of the mound to the rest of the material? Let's continue the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah lechin she'amru gavan asara tefachim, the lechayin that we're talking about that we discuss constantly, they have to be 10 tefachim high. V'rachban v'ovyon kol shehu, and its width and its or its thickness has no measure. It can be the most minute measure, which tomorrow we'll discuss. Rabbi Yossi says Rachman givel tefachim. No, the width of a lechi of a pole has to be 3 tefachim high. Says the Gemara, lechin she'amru. The Mishnah said lechin, those lechin plurals. Lema tanan stamik Rabbi Elazar. Let's say that our Mishnah is actually the stam Mishnah going to Rabbi Elazar. The Amal lechian beinan. Rabbi Elazar held earlier that we have in Yiral from a base that you have to have two lechis for each mavui. The fact that our Mishnah puts in the plural seems to imply that Allah is like the stam Mishnah like Rabbi Elazar. Where it says, no, lie my lechin, what does lechin mean? Lechin the Alma. We're talking about lechin as a general terminology. The lechis in the world, this is what their halacha is. But it doesn't mean to imply dafka that a mavi has to have two lechayin. Yahi is where it says, karanami. When it comes to the kara now, which was just our previous Mishnah, nisni karos, why doesn't it say karos? It says, no, instead the Mishnah tells us, kara sha'amru, the karos that we're talking about, have to be able to hold up a brick, but you see hakarish amr. You see, it doesn't refer to karos. Nisni karos or my karos. He says karos the alma. it's talking about. So let's say the same principle. Use why the mission they use a singular term. Talk about beams in general, and it'll be general beams. So he says, "Hachi kama oisin lechian shenechlaku Rabbi Elazar v'chachamim." Since we previously discussed the lechian of Rabbi Elazar v'chachamim, where they had to be two or one, so those two lechian that we're having machlokes about are gabhan asar tefachim. That's high as 10 tefachim, rochem and avian kol shehu, and its width is a kol is a kol shehu. The Chachamim held that the width is just a kol shehu. So, but we're discussing those two lechayim that were previously discussed in the Mishnah beforehand in regarding whether you had to have one or two lechayim. Now we're discussing the dimension. That's why the Mishnah here used lechayim she'amru. Now the Gemara says, "V'kama kol shehu? What is a kol shehu?" Tan Rav Chiya, afilu kechut hasarbel. Even if it's the strand, the thickness of a strand, like a thread, and as Rashi says, a coat, a strand that's used up to make up a coat. Tana asa lechi lechatzim mavi. Supposing you placed your lechi in the middle, halfway through the mavi, enlo elechatzim mavi. So you can carry up until that midpoint of the mavi where you put the lechi. So Gemara says pshita. Of course, that's where the lechi goes to. Ela emo yeshlo chatzim mavi. Yeshlo chatzim mavi. That means no. That you. What it means to tell you is you have up until that point to carry. So again, Gemara says hanami pshita. Okay, what have you just taught me here that I didn't know? So he says, "Mao the same old lechosh dilma asulish tamushi bekuli." Maybe there's it was a chashash. We might have to be concerned that you're going to carry. You're not going to stop at the midway, and you're going to go beyond the pole since the mavi ends later. Kamash Malone, we're not. You don't suspect that, and we're not concerned about that, and not a chashash. Amar Rava. Rava says, "Asa lechi lamavi vehigbiyam in a karka shlosha." If you made a lechi, but however you raise it above the ground three tefachim or more, oh, shligam and a kalsel, shifligam and a kalsel shloshel, or its distance from the adjacent wall was three or more, loss of laklum, and you didn't accomplish anything because the principle of love it does not apply since you're three or beyond tefachim from the distance where it has to be. I feel like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, even called Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Amar Amrin love it, that we say love it if it's more than three, as long as it doesn't reach four. Hanimil Lamala. That's only in terms of love when you're trying to reach up towards a distance. Avalamata. But when you go projecting downwards, kivan, and this lechi is 3 feet off the ground, 3 tefachim off the ground, kivan the havi mechitza shekadi and balkanba, since it's a mechitza or it's an imaginary mechitza that kids, young goats can crawl under. Loka Amar, even he agrees that we're not concerned about lovud. We are concerned about that measure, about if small goats can go under that measure. Therefore, it's possible it's three or more. Vaitu in the Gemara, Rav Yosi Amar Rachvan Gimel Tfachim. Rav Yosi says no, the car has to be three tefachim high. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Ein halacha Rav Yosi. The halacha Rav Yosef said now, the halacha is not like Rav Yosi. Lo behilmi, that was a we had previously in the Gemara in Shabbos. Hilmi was a brine. The Tanakhama felt that you're allowed to make brine in a small measure on Shabbos, and Rabbi Yossi was and not worried that you're going to make too much and before after Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi says no, he didn't allow any. He was afraid you're going to make more than you need. So Rabbi Yossi says but the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi in his hilmi with his brine matter, and not with our issue of the lechian where Rabbi Yossi said it has to be three tefachim. Amar Rav Huna bar Chinuna said to his Rabbi Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef took ill and he lost his mental capacity. He forgot quite a bit. So he says, "Well, Rabbi, really, behilmi amarta. You really taught us about hilmi, but v'lechian lo amarta. We don't remember being taught from you about the lechian that the halach is not like Rabbi Yosef either." So Rabbi Yosef asked him back, "Maishna behilmi the pligi rabbanon aleha. Why should I have taught you any different? I went along with the Rabbanon because the Rabbanon are the majority and argue with Rav Yossi. Lechian nami palag Rabbanon la. The issue of whether it has a kol shehu or three tefachim is also the majority disagrees with him. So naturally, it stands to reason I should have taught you that the halacha is not like Rav Yossi there either." So he says, "Amalei." They answer him back, "No, shani lechian mishum dekoi ravkav Rebbe kavosei." Because we know that Rebbe elsewhere holds like Rav Yossi. Rav Ruchumi. So maybe that's why it wasn't so simple that you should have assumed automatically the Torah halacha is not like Rav Yossi. Ruchumi Masni Hachi, Rav Ruchumi Masni Hachi, he learned as follows. Amr Yehuda Bereid Rav Shmuel, Bar Shilis Mishmei the Rav, Ein Halacha Ka Rav Yossi, the Halacha is not like Rav Yossi, Lo Behilmi, Lo Lechiyayin, not in Hilmi, not in the case of Lechiyayin. So they asked him, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, Amras, you see, he says, did you really teach us such? Did you really state such a halacha? Amalu lo, no, I didn't say that. I didn't say such a thing. Amarava Rav says Elokim Amra. No, by God I can say that you did teach us. V'gamir laminei, we even learned it from you. I know we learned it from you. However, but he seems to be retracting. Omai tamakam ahadabe. Why is it that he's retracting? Mishum deRav Yosi nimukei imo. Because wherever Rav Yosi presented his arguments, he had solid logic with him. He always built his case well, so it was very difficult to say convincingly that Halacha is not Rav Yossi. So he didn't want to say so emphatically that Halacha is not like Rav Yossi. Amalei Rava Barachan al Abaye Hilcha Samaisa, what is the Halacha? So he told him, Pukhazi Maedama Davar, go out and see. Abaye tells him, go out and see what are people doing. And the fact is that people use even a Kol Shehu for Alechi, for the wit, and that's what the Halacha is. Others say that this exchange took place on a separate halacha altogether. And the Gemara in Brachas, Hashosamayim Litzamal. If you drink water because you're thirsty, standard reason for drinking water. So we say, Amar Shehakol Midvaro, you say, should make a Baruch Shehakol. Rav Tarfon, Rav says, no, Baruch Nefashos Rabos Chesronon, I'll call Masha Shebarasa. The Baruch Nefashos that we're come to, as we're accustomed to, which is the Baruch Achrona, that you, he says, Rav Tarfon says that you have, that's what you actually make for the Bracha Rishana. Possibly he would hold that's the Bracha Achrona as well, but certainly he disagreed with Shehakol Nia B'dvaro, but rather he said Bar Nefashos. Amar Rav Chanan La'abaya, so in this case Rav Chanan said to Abaye Hilchas Amai, what is the Halacha Amalei? Pukhasi Ma'ada Amad Davar, go out and see what are people doing. So it was in this case of Brachas that exchange took place about go see what people do and base your Halacha accordingly.